You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Give them a hand, would you? They did a great job today. Miss Dorothy in first service, she always gives me these breath mints. And lays them on my table. Wasn't that nice? Maybe she's trying. She may be trying to tell me something, too. So I'll make note of that. But she's so sweet. She always does that. And I am thankful for it. So how are you guys today? You doing all right? Doing all right? Good. That's good news. We had a great first service. And I am expecting nothing other than that for this service as well. And we welcome all of you that are here. If you're here for the first time, welcome to Shelter Community. It's an honor to have you here with us. And some of you may be watching. There's people on Facebook live stream right now. Give Facebook live stream a big hand, would you? There's over 55 people weekly that watch the Facebook live stream. And we welcome everyone that's here in body. And we welcome those that are here virtually, either through Facebook live stream or through the podcast. And man, we're just hearing incredible stories of what God is doing outside of these four walls and how he's just taking the church to the community and to the virtual community as well. Last night, I don't know if you know it, but we had an expression, a shelter expression to meet, a shelter expression, which is the Open Table Ministries. They did their thing here on Saturday night, and it's an incredible ministry reaching out to people who wouldn't come to a traditional Sunday morning service. And this is what's cool. Jay told me when he started, Jay said this to me, he says, Ryan, when we're doing this, I just want you to know, I don't know that people are coming here for Open Table are going to come on Sunday morning. And I said, man, are you having an element of worship? And he said, yes. Are you having an element of mission? He said, yes. Is there an element of discipleship? He said, yes. I said, that's church. You don't need to bring them here on Sunday morning, right? Isn't that right? And so we need to keep praying for Open Table Ministries. We need to pray for Kim Craycraft, Don Fricky, who's spearheading the Shelter Recovery Church on Tuesday nights. And we need to pray for our Facebook live streamers, man. 55 people weekly are watching that. And I can't wait to see. We got more things coming. I'm just telling you, more expressions of church that is going to be coming and growing out of all of this. And there is no greater time than what we have now in with what we're seeing in this world. And you know, here's the thing. The thing is week after week after week, it just seems, it's interesting to me how there's always a different news cycle. There's always something new that we're seeing. Right now, we need to be in prayer for our Southeast Texas brothers and sisters who are dealing with incredible flooding. And they said that this was going to be a storm that many would remember for a lifetime, and that's what's happening. So we need to pray for Nicho's family down in Houston, Texas. We mentioned you, Nicho, and your family down in Houston. They're down there. There's people that we know that are directly affected by these rains and by these hurricanes. And so it's not just people we don't know. It's people we do know. And it doesn't matter if we know them or not. We as a church need to be praying for them, right? So anyways, that is something that we really need to be mindful of. And you know, this week it's what's called the storm of days. Last week it was rioting and protesting and counter protesting. Right? It was the dismissal or disassembly or dismantling of monuments. And every week there's always something new. It's almost hard to keep up with it, isn't it? And every time we turn around, there's always something going on. And you know, when you look at government and how it's in an uproar. When you look at the rumors of war, when you look at terror attacks and you look at the heroin epidemic, when you look at people who are diagnosed with the incurable, the death and loss of life, racial tension, and a nation divided. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but man, sometimes I'm just like, oh God, when are you going to get us out of here? Right? When are you just going to come and take us home? That's the way I was taught. You know, one day the Lord's going to come. And my God rest her soul, well, one of my aunts, I'm not going to say who, because she is still living, but she'd say, talking about when people get married, oh, here they go, starting another poorhouse. You know, God, you got to take us out of here, you know. Lord, help us. God, help us. You know, this world's horrible. My grandma, same way. Lord, you know, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Have you ever heard that? What in the world does that mean? I don't know what that means. I mean, I get the idea that it's going to, you know, H-E double hockey sticks, but I'm not sure what the handbasket means. You know, where does that, I have no idea. Someone Googled it first service and they were trying to figure it out themselves. But here's the truth. The truth is that when you look at all the chaos and all the confusion and all the darkness, and every time you turn around, there's something else that we have to contend with. Not just with what we see in the news, but what we experience in our daily lives, man. How in the world can we ever think about a message series like this, Dream? How can we ever dream of something better? Dream of something bigger? Dream of something more than what we have currently? I don't know if you guys have been keeping up or watching the build up to that. Most of us here probably not, and you are probably much closer to the Lord than what I have been. But watching that the build up to that McGregor, what is it? Mayweather and McGregor fight. Good golly, it looked like a glorified WWF deal. You know, watching this chaos and confusion. And you know, sometimes I think we're just watching that stuff to buy time and distract us from the current issues and problems and darkness that we're going through in our own personal life and in the life of our community and certainly in the life of our city. And folks, as we all get older, we're seeing more and more chaos and confusion. And maybe it was that way 30, 40 years ago when my grandma was sitting there saying, "Oh Lord, when are you going to come back? You know, just rapture us out of here. You know, just take us home." And I don't think there was anything wrong with my grandmother necessarily praying that or thinking that, but it sure seems that we face some really dark times. I mean, darker than what I remember facing. And maybe my grandmother would say the same thing. And within me, there is this notion to share the dream that, how can I say this? To take us up out of here into some resting place in the sky, to get us out of the confusion that we're all dealing with and that we're all experiencing. I believe this. I believe that, like my grandmother and like those that have gone on before me, there is a tendency for us Christians to want to run for cover. Run for cover. Hide out. Wait for the Lord to come back and just try to survive. Or collectively try to just get by until the Lord comes back. I remember when I was in elementary school. And in elementary school, we would do those tornado drills. You guys know what I'm talking about? So you do the tornado drill, and you all walk out in a file, and you're looking for the most secure area in the school, and they're in the school. And I remember the teachers would say this. They would say, "Okay, kneel down and put your hands over your head, right? And kneel down, right?" And I would always look over to my buddies and I'd say, "And put your head between your legs and kiss your terrier goodbye," right? Because it was over. I mean, those things were kind of traumatic. You know what I'm saying? Hunkering down. I believe that as Christians in church, sometimes our mentality and the mentality that I grew up with my grandmother meant well. They thought well. They were believers and they were very faithful people. But the idea of dealing with the chaos and the darkness and the confusion was to hunker down. To hunker down and wait on God to come back and rapture us all out of here. And this belief system that says that there is no use and hands over their heads waiting to kiss their terrier goodbye because it was hopeless. The destruction was going to come. The darkness was going to come. And even with how sick and dark the world has become, I cannot get past the idea that God has something more for us as followers of Christ than that. I believe he has something more than us just to hunker down and wait for him to return. I believe that he has something more. He has something more than this hopeless idea that it's over and there's no hope. I believe that God wants us to dream and to hope, not only for his return, but hope for his kingdom to come and establish itself right where you and I are. That's what I believe. So let's go back to Scripture, and let's look at what the inspired Word of God has to say. And let's look. Did you guys know? I don't think we say this enough, right? But the Bible is basically the standard for living. Did you know that? The Bible, if you buy a new car and you want to understand how that car operates, what do? You go to the glove box and you open up and you pull out what? The manual, right? The manual. The Bible is the manual. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to operate in a fallen world. It tells us how to conduct ourselves and how to basically get through whatever the world presents itself to us. And you know, just on a side note, and I'm going down a rabbit trail, but my life group. Now don't come to me and say, Ryan, I want to be in your life. Look, get a life group. I have a life group. You have a life group. What we do is we sit, there's three or four of us over coffee. We read Scripture and we pray. That's it. We meet and read through the first two chapters in John. And then next week, if we have time, we'll read two, we'll read one, whatever. And then we pray. That's all you got to do. We're looking through the manual to understand how to live and how to walk and how to get by in a very dark time. And I believe if you don't have a life group, you're in trouble, man. You've got to get in a life group and soak in the Word of God together. So here, let's look at the manual. Let's look at what God has to say about this fallen world and what God has to say about darkness. And look at what God has to say about a church full of people with problems. Come on now. You can amen that. Or you can say, right on. We got problems, right? We got problems. Let's look what the Bible says to all of us who have problems, who are dealing with uncertainty, who are concerned about what we see on the news. And let's look and see what the Bible has to say in terms of how we live and how we walk and what is it that we must do to get by with. Does that sound all right? Am I barking down the wrong tree? Right tree. The right tree? Right tree. Okay, let's try. Isaiah 49:8. Now we're going to look at a book. We're going to look at Isaiah, and we're also going to look at Jeremiah. There's two prophets that we're going to look at, and these two prophets both were about 120 years apart in their messaging. But both of them were going through a very similar situation. Both of them, their people were in exile, meaning they were in bondage. Their people were. It was a very hopeless time. They were in captivity. They were not. Not free. They were enslaved, right? They were in bondage to another group of people, the Babylonians. And what you see here is Isaiah speaking and Jeremiah speaking to those folks and giving them guidance, because the Lord came to both Isaiah and came to Jeremiah and said, "This is what I want you to share with your people." And this is what I believe the Lord wants us to share this morning. So Isaiah 49:8-9, the first part of 9. Let's look at it. Verse 8. This is what the Lord says. Isaiah's writing this. This is what the Lord says, colon, right? Except he's getting the words in Hebrew and he's writing this down, right? And he's wanting his people to understand. And here's the deal. It is not just for these folks, but I believe it is also for us. It is also for us, or it wouldn't be there. Here's what it says. At just the right time, I will respond to you. So God is telling Isaiah to write this. He's telling Isaiah to write. At just the right time, Isaiah, you tell him. At just the right time. He wants you to know this. At just the right time, I will respond to you. Now here, this morning, guys, get this. It is not my time. It is not your time. It is God's time. Kind of sounds like a movie. Mr. Hands, I've been thinking. I don't know. I don't want to get off the beaten track here. But if it's not my time, your time, it's never mind. Forget it. Yeah. And let me say that again. If it's not your time and it's not my time, it's God's time. At the right time, God says, I will respond to you. That's his promise. God's going to respond to you. On the day of salvation, he says, I will what? I will help you. That's what he says. He says, I will protect you. That's what he says. He says that I will protect you. He say, Isaiah, you tell him. You tell him at just the right time, he's going to I'm going to respond. You tell him at just the right time on the day of salvation, I'm going to help him. You tell him. You write it down, Isaiah, and you let him know, I will protect them. And I give you to the people of my covenant with them. What's that mean? What this means simply is this, is I am a God that will fulfill his promise. You are people of promise. I will not leave you hanging. I know you're not where you want to be. I know you're going through a difficult time, but I want you to know this, that I am a God of my word, and I will honor the covenant at just the right time. And he says, through you, I will reestablish the land of Israel and assign to its people again. I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom, and to those in darkness, come into the light. Praise God. Look, this is powerful stuff here, man. God is not leaving us in the dark. He is not leaving us in a place where he doesn't want us to be. God is setting things up, and he wants us to understand that he is going to reestablish the land, and he's going to assign it to its own people again. Basically, what God has taken from you, he will give it back to you again. And actually, God didn't take it, but you get what I'm saying. The enemy has taken it. What the enemy has taken, God will bring it back to you. I just think that God has us in a place on this particular day for a reason. We are here at just the right time. And I love my grandma, and I love my Aunt Mir and my Aunt Betty, and I love my God-fearing family. I'm a third-generation Nazarene. Man, I almost sound like I need a button-down shirt and a tie and a suit coat when I say that I'm a third-generation Nazarene, Jim. That what? That beer. Hey, seriously though, God has us right where he wants us. Look at Jeremiah 29, 4 through 14, right? Jeremiah piggybacks off of what Isaiah is saying and expands on it just a little more, and at least in our context for this morning. In verse 4, it says, this is what the Lord of the heavens, armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives that he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. And folks, this is what the Lord of heavens, armies, the God of Israel, says to all of you, because you are no different than them. He says, verse 5, build homes and plan to stay. Wait a minute. That's not what my grandma said. She didn't say plan to stay. Matter of fact, I don't know that they planned to stay. They had bigger plans. At least they thought they were bigger plans. God was going to come and take them out, you know, so that they didn't have to. God is saying to us, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. What's he saying to us? He's saying, be productive. Make investments. Do what you do. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that they may have many grandchildren. Not, oh my goodness, here they go, starting another poorhouse. That's what I grew up with, man. I mean, matter of fact, Beth and I got married. And my good old God-loving Aunt Betty, she doesn't have Facebook live stream, and she will not hear this message this morning. I promise you that. But that's what she would say. Well, Ryan's starting another poorhouse. That is not what God wants. God wants us to see things, to dream things, to see things differently, to understand that He has us where He wants us for a reason. He wants us to multiply, to have children and to multiply. And what's He say there? He says, do not dwindle away. That's what He says. And work for the peace, verse 7, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. And it says, pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord. You know, we probably ought to, I don't want to jump ahead here. I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit and foreshadow of what's to come here in just a few minutes. But we probably ought to work for peace and prosperity and of the city where I sent you into exile, but we probably ought to pray to the Lord for peace and prosperity maybe a little more than what we watch our cable news networks. And it says for the welfare of your city, or basically for its welfare, it will determine your welfare. So hiding and hunkering down and waiting on the Lord to come, and I'm God-fearing too, and I hope that God does at some point. But while He has me here, He doesn't want me in an elementary school age tornado drill position, folks. He wants me out working and trying to make a difference in this world, praying for peace and prosperity and multiplying and making investments and trying to produce to make the world a little better place. Verse 8, this is what the Lord of the heavens armies, the God of Israel says, do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Look, the same lies they had then is the same lies that I grew up with. The lies then was that they were going to be out of bondage in a much sooner, they were going to find freedom in a much more expeditious timeline. That they weren't going to be held captive for long. There was these lies. So they created this mindset that they were going to hunker down and not build houses and not plant gardens and not produce because their time was going to be up where they were going to be taken out and allowed to go back home. Jeremiah says, no, that was a lie. That's false teaching. The truth is that you need to build homes. You need to plant gardens. You need to multiply so that you don't dwindle away. Completely different mindset. It's a completely different mindset than what I grew up with. And why? Why would the enemy propagate these lies? I have a hunch. Hopefully you want to hear it. Here's the hunch. Thank you. I got some smart alecks in the front row. Here's my hunch. My hunch is this. My hunch is that the enemy can get us to believe that it's okay to get in that elementary tornado drill position, hunker down, live right there in that condition. Then there's less people that we can go out and make a difference and touch and get in relationship with. And we dwindle. That's my hunch. My hunch is if we live with this idea, well, I don't want none of that. I'm going to get by because the good Lord's coming back and I can't change anything. I'm just going to hunker down here. Look, I believe that God wants us as quote unquote Christians, followers of Christ, He wants us to do something more than that. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. Here's the manual, folks. The manual. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for, he says 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things that I've promised. And I will bring you home again. So he's given them a timeline. But that timeline's long. There's a lot of folks that's not going to see that 70 years. Now get this, verse 11. Then he says this. And this is what you can grab a hold of. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. That's what God has for you. Now think about this. If the enemy can get us to hunker down in an elementary school age tornado drill position and keep us from sharing the idea that God has a plan for his people, man, he could do grave damage. Look, there are plans for good, not for disaster. Folks, the world needs to know that. You need to know that. Your families need to know that. Your communities need to know that. They need to know this, that God has given you and given them a future and a hope. And verse 12, in those days when you pray, now get this, in these days, I believe we can move that too. Not just in those days, but in these days. Not just in those days back then in 500 BC, but in these days. In these days when you pray, God will listen. You see that? When you pray, God will listen. Verse 13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. God has a plan. And it's so much more than what I was raised to believe. We had a leadership meeting 2 weeks ago. And in the leadership meeting on one board, this big whiteboard right here, all the ministry leaders, we wrote down all these things that we do as a church. We write them down. Just kept writing them down. We didn't get halfway through it. I had a dozen more. We just kept writing. And many of the things were not even on the board that we do as a church. Even this week, look at your weekly. Look at all the stuff that we do as a church. It's a bunch of stuff. And on this board, I wrote down this one question. And a question I want to propose to you. What is the one thing by which, if we do it, what's the one thing? The one thing by which, if we do it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. What is the one thing? The one thing. I wrote that on this board. By which, if we do it, everything else on this board becomes easier or unnecessary. And this is what we came up with. I mean, it shouldn't be any secret. Look, you get back up into Isaiah, Isaiah hints to this. You get down into Jeremiah, Jeremiah hints of this. Jeremiah says it right very plainly. Very plainly. In those days when you pray, I will listen. In those days if you pray, God says, I will listen. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here's what it says. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and restore their land. Folks, this is where I'm at. Where I'm at is not in this board here. It overwhelms me. I can't keep up with it. I can barely keep up sometimes with texts and voicemails and phone calls. And I try to get back as much as I try to get back and do. I'm not making excuses. I try. But my point is this, is that it's overwhelming the needs of even that we deal with, let alone the world deals with, right? And the promises are right here. The promises are in 2 Chronicles 7:4. If you shelter community, if you are God's people, if you are called by my name, those of us, we are called by his name. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, folks, we got some turning to do. We have some turning to do. There are some things within us that are not right, and you know what they are, and I know what mine are. God is asking us to turn from those, right? And to pray. And it says that he will hear from heaven and he will forgive their sin and he will restore their land. King James, I think it is, says, and he will heal their land. Folks, our land needs healed. We talk about what are we going to do with the heroin epidemic? What are we going to do with the homelessness? What are we going to do with getting people discipled? What are we going to do with trying to get people through volunteer orientation? What are we going to do in trying to, you know, share the gospel and see new people come to life? What are we going to do about baptism? What are we going to do about all this stuff right here? What are we going to do about it? And I think God is saying, you know what, folks? You've been working way too hard. What you need to do is pull the plug and you need to pray. There is one lady shows up here every stinking week. And I go get my hair cut and sit in her chair. And I know without any doubt, Linda has been carrying us for a long time. Amen. Leading that prayer ministry. She prays for the church. She prays for those needs on the board. She prays. And folks, for a long time, I know this probably within her has been brewing for a while. And I know she bears witness with what I'm talking about. Folks, we need to come around that and pray. And here's where I'm at. And we're going to be gone. Throughout history, there's been different revivals. There's been different things to happen. In the late 1800s, there was what was called the Great Awakening. And in the Great Awakening, there were people who began to pray, a very small group of people that began to pray. And in those prayer bands and prayer circles, you had John Wesley and Whitfield, and you had these guys that started this movement. They called it the Great Awakening. And literally thousands of people were saved and denominations were, I mean, churches were built. That things that came out of this was incredible. In the early 1900s, there was the Welsh revivals and people came together and they began to pray. And God began to move in ways that none of this could be manufactured. And literally there were hundreds of thousands of people that were directly saved because of the Welsh revival and because of these few little people that were praying. They came together and prayed. People were finding healing and hope and stuff began to happen. And you know something? One of my best friends in college, his grandmother, who was a missionary in South America, her family was saved out of that revival. Then there was the Hebrides Revival in 1940s, the Great Hebrides Revival. And here's the deal. In the Welsh Revivals and the Hebrides Revival, people were getting saved in the cities without even coming into the church. They were going to the jails, confessing their sin, trying to find peace within themselves. And people were leading them to the Lord. It all started and was rooted in prayer. It was rooted. These two or three ladies gathered and prayed, and this young boy came and shared this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The if my people and the then statement, and held God accountable literally to that then statement. Hundreds of thousands of people were ministered to and saved by that little island in the Hebrides. The 1970s, there was the Asbury Revivals down in south of Lexington. And people were saved, spread all over the country and all over the world because people were praying. Now, what's this mean? what's this all about? What is it? Look, I don't know what it's about other than the fact that I believe that what we're up against is bigger than any one of us, and it's bigger than any one church. I believe that what we're up against is something that is overwhelming. And I believe God wants us right where we're at. And I believe God wants to bring healing and hope and ministry to a hurting, dying, empty, lost world. And He wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to pray. So, this morning, what I'd like is, I'd like for everyone that are that's willing and able to just come up right here. If you would, just kind of gather right in here. Okay, and I'm going to ask Linda. Linda doesn't know this, but I'm going to ask her to come up here. And she's going to close us out with prayer. All right? Can you guys stand? Let's all stand. Father God, I just pray that You would move us this morning. Help us as we close the service in prayer to be a catalyst like it was for service, a catalyst for something that's going to come. Your Spirit coming and blessing and helping and motivating and God empowering us to see and experience a great renewal, a great revival, an incredible awakening. God, we need this in our hearts and lives this morning. We need this in our hearts and lives right now. We need folks to find healing in You. We need folks to find recovery in You. We need folks to find peace and to find, God, relief. And we need, God, our nation needs healed. And we need to see reconciliation. And we need to see, God, animosity put aside. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would come and that You would do something. And that this morning would be a catalyst for something that's coming here in the life and times and in the church of the Shelter community. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Linda, where are you? She's right here. Where's Kim Gabley? Kim Gabley, Kim, come up here real quick before Linda prays. First service, Kim and Randy shared. And Kim, I don't know if you guys know this, but man, I stalk you guys on Facebook. Just saying. I'm just playing. I'm teasing. But on Facebook, Kim made a post this week, and she shared this morning a little bit about that. You want to step up? You and Randy, share a little bit about that, and then I want to have Linda to close in prayer.
So, this past week, I stalked people on Facebook too. But what I was starting to see a theme on Facebook that was actually turning very dark. You know, at the times of what's going on in our world today, to people are searching and seeking answers and seeking the spiritual world to figure out what's going on in their lives, how to get to a better place and to understanding. And I have a couple of friends that they say they're Christian. Well, now they are Christians. I don't want to say that. I want to say that right. But they're seeking. And I started seeing posts that was linking back to spiritual things, such as going to medium.com and looking at false prophets and looking at fortune tellers and trying to get answers as to what's going on in their lives. Why are they feeling the way they're feeling? And my heart just broke. And I've been feeling like this for a while, and I said this in the first service, is that, and full disclosure, I've been struggling. I've had a hard time staying in the Word. I've been having a hard time staying in prayer. I've been struggling, and I haven't been saying it, except to a few people, that I'm lost myself. And I started realizing is that what I'm reading, and I'm going back to in a discussion with my parents, is that this message today that Pastor Ryan brought to us is so right on. The Word of God is the invaluable Word. That is where truth is. You're not going to find truth in medium.com. You're not going to find truth with crystals and things like that. I'm sorry if that's what you believe, but it's wrong. God is the only answer, and the Bible is the only answer. And that's the only place we're struggling. We're looking as what in the world is going on in this world today. Yeah. And we have got to turn back to prayer. And I'm saying this to myself. You got to understand, I'm preaching to myself. My husband can attest to that because he's heard my cries and my pleas. Well, we got to get back to Christ. God is the only answer.
Good,
and what I've realized is that the spiritual world is real. There's a spiritual battle out there that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is coming at us with every spiritual force and enemies that are standing around us trying to keep us distracted. They don't want us to get into the Bible. They don't want us to pray because we know that the blood of Christ is what's going to save this world and it's going to save us. And they're trying to keep us from that and they're trying to keep me from it. And I'm mad. And I'm mad because I let it happen to me. And so what I'm realizing is that with this is that the enemy is twisting this truth, thinking that we can go and look at medium.com and look at these spiritual things that we're going to get our answers. The enemy is twisting the truth. Those of you that have been with Shelter for a while remember is that my husband and I did a couple courses or classes on twisting the truth with Andy Stanley. We've talked about it over the last several months or so, year, like, well, it would be really great to do that. And I realized this week, quit talking about it and do
it.
Something about it.
Uh-huh.
All right? My schedule's crazy. People that know me and follow me know that my schedule's crazy, but I don't care. We're going to figure it out. And we're going to start that series again and encourage possibly other groups and things like that to start. But we need to start looking at shutting the enemy up, getting him out of our lives, and focusing on Christ. Pastor, your message is right on. And that was my prayer. I'm like, God, you got to give me something. And I sat in the service. I made myself sit in the service. And I'm going to make it life-changing because I just now confessed in front of the church.
Yeah.
Which is God.
Good.
Which is God.
Good.
You know, so my wonderful husband and I, we're going to step it up in our own lives. And we've been talking about it. I'm going to encourage him. And thank you. Just all I can say.
That's good. That's good. Good job, Kim. So Linda's going to pray. And before she prays, I want to challenge all of us here, okay, to what I'm calling the 15-minute protocol. And this is all I'm asking. It's 15 minutes, spend that time with God, 15 minutes every day. Can you do that? And I believe that together, collectively, look, if 15 minutes is too long, break it up into three five-minute periods. You can do that, you know. But call it the 15-minute protocol. You're not going to hear the end of this. And I'm calling the church to do that. And then we're going to see testimonies. And we're going to see God begin to bless and move through that. Those of you that are listening on Facebook live stream, same thing. 15-minute protocol. This week, will you commit to that?
Yes.
And let's come back and share stories of what God's doing through that 15-minute period. And we'll start with that. It's incremental, right, Linda? Not everyone can pray as long as some of us like you and others can pray. But you know what? I believe God's calling us to this, to seek His face, to humble ourselves, to turn from our ways, right? The wicked ways, and to pray. And God's promise, if we do that, then He will revive, renew, and heal our land. And I just think that it's not this board. It's all of that. But can you imagine how much more powerful our water bottles are going to be passing those out next Monday morning when it's covered in water bottle prayer?
Yes.
You know, and we're passing those things out. I mean, man, we're just working really, really hard, folks. And I believe God wants to move through everything that we do, Linda. And everything's going to be so much easier or maybe even unnecessary for us to get to that mission that God's led us to in leading every person into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Give Linda an honoring hand. Would you do that? She's going to dismiss us in prayer. And we value you, Miss Linda. And this is not, we're not giving you adoration. We're giving the good Lord honor for what He has done in and through you and how you have propped us up.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. God, you move fast. You're holy, really beyond any touch that any of us have felt. We only get a little bit of it. Father, we just ask that you be with us. You stir your spirit up within us. Bring us to those small moments
good grief, we can go to the bathroom and pray quietly. It doesn't matter where we're at. You are right there with us. Father, thank you for all that you have done here at this church. And now you are taking it to another level. And we are going to stomp on serpents' heads through this. And we rebuke the enemy that drives people to drugs and alcohol.
Yes, God.
And every other thing that just overtakes our time. Father, thank you for your love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm looking for reports next week. 15-minute protocol. All right? You're not going to hear the end of that. So, praise God. Have a great week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.